Hey, could you do me a favor and turn your microphone on?
Is it? I thought it was.
No, it's not. It is. What?
It is on, and I am plugged in. Is this cable bad?
I don't know. No, it's fine now. It's fine.
Is I'm on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I had to turn you on. That's my fault.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Well, I mean, I
that
catch
you turned
it.
Me on.
Oh, all right.
Keep up, Ryan.
That is.
Oh,
Heyo.
What's up? This is Movies On Up. They can't keep their hands off each other's assets. I am Ryan. No, I'm not. I'm Dave, joined by my favorite asset, Ryan.
I am Ryan, sometimes referred to as Dave's ass.
It gets very confusing sometimes, which is which. But we are mixed together. We don't have our own channel.
Sometimes it's weird. Yeah, it's like
I'm on one side. Yeah. Like we're the good and the bad, devil and angel. I don't know.
I like that.
We are Movies On Up. Our tagline for this week, they can't keep their hands off each other's assets. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or Twitter @moviesonup. If you win, you get a prize pack probably. But we are Movies On Up.
People know the rules by now.
This week, Hail Caesar from the Coen brothers comes out, starring the Clune, George Clooney.
Also known as George Clooney.
Yeah, so we decided, hey, why not dedicate a whole episode to the Clune Prince? So this episode is going to be our favorite George Clooney movies.
I like a lot of George Clooney movies.
Here's the thing. I don't love a lot of George Clooney movies. I find a lot of George Clooney movies enjoyable. And that's about where I go with it.
I find him enjoyable.
Exactly. He makes almost anything watchable.
Yeah.
Even if it's intolerable. He makes it somewhat tolerable.
He's like a spoonful of sugar.
I got my top five. I got seven also-rans. And I think I left some off just because I thought,
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's some that, not that they're necessarily obvious, but I feel like we maybe have talked about them once or twice. So I left those off. But in doing this list, a couple things occurred to me, and I'll get into those later. But one of those is, it's very easy for me off the top of my head to think of a lot of George Clooney movies that I like and I have no problem putting on the list and talking about.
Well, my top two are two movies that I love. Three and four are movies that I really, really like. And then five
is a movie.
I could have tossed a number of movies there. So five's kind of my wild card. I just threw one in there just to hold space. But I like Clooney. And this is probably, of all the lists we've done, I think Denzel is probably the closest one to where it's like, oh, I like pretty much every movie he's done. Clooney's pretty close.
Yeah, I think, I mean, when we did De Niro, we left a lot of meat on the bone.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great movies that, you know, we didn't put on the list. I don't think it's necessarily a coincidence that the actors that we pick to do episodes for happen to be actors that we like a lot. I think subconsciously, maybe. Well, hey, yeah. George Clooney's in a movie. I kind of like George Clooney.
We did
Clooney.
Brad Pitt. Yeah. We did
Mark Wahlberg.
Marky Mark. Denzel. Did we do Reese Witherspoon? I feel like we did Reese Witherspoon.
I'm not sure. I don't know if we've done an actress.
I was just thinking that.
Sexist.
I thought we did a Reese Witherspoon.
We did Johnny Depp.
Yeah. And Ed Wood was pretty high on our list. So yeah. I thought we did Reese Witherspoon.
I'm not sure.
Well, we did a top 10 Anna Kendrick movie also, so.
I almost feel like that's not even the same thing.
No. So anyway, enough. I don't even remember what the episode's about now. But
I think it's about Anna Kendrick.
Whatever list we're doing, what is your fifth favorite
of that
episode title?
My fifth favorite George Clooney movie, as I have it written down so I wouldn't forget, is from 2006, directed by Steven Soderbergh. It's The Good German, starring Clooney, Cate Blanchett, and Tobey Maguire. I feel like the only thing I really need to say about this movie is that it's a noir. And by this time, if you've listened to us for any stretch of time, I think it really shouldn't surprise you that the fact that it is a noir means that it's going to find a place on my list. I think it's one of the better examples of neo-noir, largely because of Cate Blanchett. As important as the lead is, what makes a noir better than the next, I think oftentimes is the dame. and they really don't come much better than Cate Blanchett. I'm not a huge fan of hers, but in this movie, I thought she was phenomenal. She manages to convey a capability that makes her not really seem like a damsel in distress. Like, she's fully capable of handling herself, and in some instances, she might be just as dangerous as the guys that she's trying to get away from. And I think that Clooney's charm, which probably, at least on my end, will become a bit of a theme here, kind of allows him to channel every bit of what made, like, Humphrey Bogart great in Casablanca. He's just kind of a nouveau version of that. And I love creepy Tobey Maguire. In this movie, he is about as creepy as he comes. He's a great, strange villain. I mean, he doesn't
get to be villainous all that much.
No, and when you think villain, you don't think Tobey Maguire, and that helps, because the first time you see him, you're not necessarily, spoiler alert, he is the bad guy, a bad guy. You're not necessarily thinking of him in that way. So the mystery is kind of able to unfold, because it's not like, Alan Rickman was great. Whenever you saw Alan Rickman on screen, you had a good idea that he was a substandard character. He was either out and out the bad guy, or you'd find out in like the seventh book that he's the bad guy. Whatever.
You thought he was the bad guy for six books, and then, whatever.
I don't know. I don't know anything about Harry Potter, but I
the
do know
seventh,
that
he turns it around.
Oh, spoiler all right. Alert. Well, he's like Darth Vader, I guess. But that's the point.
He was undercover, essentially. Spoiler alert.
Oh, right. Like Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
Complete digression. But when you see Alan Rickman, he's such a phenomenal character actor that you always just assumed that he was the bad guy. And Tobey Maguire is kind of the opposite of that, which I think works really, really well in this movie. I think that it's acted wonderfully. Soderbergh, I think, does do a great job of making this feel very much like a noir that would have been made in the same period that the movie takes place in post-World War II Germany.
I love Soderbergh and I love Clooney, and this I honestly have not seen. This is one of those that I was going through and it's like, oh, I forgot to watch that one. Like, there's no reason for me not to have seen that. My number five, this spot was up for debate. When I think of modern Clooney, I think of like two main roles that I think sum up what Clooney is as an actor now. They're two different roles, which is weird. I went with the other one because I didn't know if you will have the other one. I went with 2007's Michael Clayton. Pretty dark movie. It's not so much the charming Clooney. He's still just so naturally charming, but that's not really what his character is. And he's not a bad guy, but he's not a good guy. Written and directed by Tony Gilroy. It's a good movie. It's long. It's a slow burn. Like, I enjoy the movie. The one that I was bouncing between this and the other one for my number five, I probably enjoy that one a little bit more, and it's not until I'm forced to talk out loud about Michael Clayton that I realize I would have picked that one. But, I mean, Michael Clayton, I like it. It's a solid, solid movie, and I think it's really good Clooney. When you think of everything Clooney does well, it's on full display in Michael Clayton.
I'll go ahead and say that Michael Clayton is my number four. It was my number three, but I'm just moving it down a spot. It's really no big deal. We're probably, stranger things have happened, but we'll probably never see an American James Bond. I think Michael Clayton might be about as close as we're going to get. To me, a fixer is kind of a corporate henchman operating in much the same way that Bond operated for the British government. I think he's really as charismatic as Connery was, and his character seems to be as flawed as the Daniel Craig Bond is. He's not the best father. He gambles way too much. And he works for some serious scumbags, doing some kind of scumbag things. But through it all, at no point in the movie did I not think that George was going to do the right thing. And maybe that's just because of what we assume.
You want him to.
Yeah, you want him to, because even if he is, you know, flawed and a scumbag, because it's Clooney, you still like him, and you still want him to be a good guy at the end. I thought that Gilroy wrote and directed. I mean, it is a little bit long, but in fairness, some of those Bond movies are too, and I don't really have a problem with that. I think he directed and wrote a pretty interesting story, and it makes you, at least it made me, want to see more of Michael Clayton. I don't necessarily need a sequel to this. The character was interesting, and the idea of this essentially corporate spy who just gets dispatched to go handle some business, it's kind of a fertile ground for maybe some other problems that needed solving.
My number four, I'd assume this is probably on your list as well.
It's not.
Oh, okay.
Because I talk about it a lot.
It's another one. Clooney's not a good guy. I don't think you can confuse him for a good guy. But he's still charming. He still has that in the back of your head. You're convinced he's going to redeem himself at some point. It is from 1996, directed by Robert Rodriguez, written by Kurtzman and Tarantino, From Dusk Till Dawn. This is two movies. In the first half of the movie, Clooney's the bad guy. In the second half, he's the hero.
He is a bad guy. It's very hard, and I think they did it on purpose, when you have his brother, Tarantino. As bad as you think Clooney is, this dude's much worse.
Oh, yeah.
So he does a bad thing. He's complicit in a bad act.
And it's a nice balance, because as bad as Tarantino is, you know he would be much worse without his brother.
Right.
So you have his brother with this badass neck tattoo that what they're doing is not good. So I'm not going to confuse him for a good guy. And the world would be better without him, but it could be a lot worse without him. So as he's kind of holding his brother under wraps, it is two movies. You have a crime kidnapping movie that out of nowhere turns into a vampire movie.
It does take a very hard right.
I had seen it already when I was in high school. I was there opening night, and the next week I told my buddies, hey, come see this. I liked it. They loved the first half. Walked out when it turned into a vampire movie, because they didn't know it was going to be a vampire movie. And they just walked out and said, I liked what I saw. That's it. I like the first half and I'm done. So it is two movies. And I think he goes from villain to hero in not a subtle way, like directly. It's not that his character changes. His character is the same.
His character takes a hard right, basically.
It's the situation. Right. It's a fun movie. It's Robert Rodriguez. I'll never claim that he's a fantastic filmmaker, but he's a fun filmmaker.
I like this movie a lot. It does manage to make its way onto, you know, vampire lists that we may have done in the past. When I think of that movie, Harvey Keitel is the guy that really comes to mind. And Cheech. I mean, it certainly has
Selma
its... that's not so bad either. Tom Savini, Danny Trejo. Like
Fred
that,
Williamson.
That whole cast of characters in the bar as soon as they get in there is...
Cheech is what, four characters in it?
He plays a lot. I'm thinking of the carnival barker, Cheech, outside mentioning all the kinds of ladies that they have in this bar. That was very popular amongst us. I don't know when this movie came out. 96, did you say? Wow. So it was probably maybe 97 or 98 before I saw it, because I think I'd have been in about sixth grade in 1996. That was a bit of a tough road to hoe, but I do remember trying to recite the menu, essentially. My number three is about as polar opposite as From Dusk Till Dawn as you can possibly get. From 2009, it's Wes Anderson's Fantastic Mr. Fox, starring Clooney, Meryl Streep, and Bill Murray. I'm also kind of a sucker for Wes Anderson movies, much like I am a noir. It's almost like Wes Anderson is a genre unto himself. So when he comes out with a movie, I generally try and see it as quickly as possible. I will admit that the look of the movie can be a little off-putting to some. The anthropomorphized animals are somewhere between marionettes and like a Muppet almost, but they feel a bit too mechanical to be either. So if you can get past kind of the look, which is a big ask, I think the story is great. Adopted from the Roald Dahl novel. It's basically Over the Hedge for adults. Mr. Fox is kind of the animal version of Danny Ocean, but without the overcomplicated plan. There's a heart to what he's doing, so you root for him. I mean, I don't think in any of these Over the Hedge movies, nobody blames Bruce Willis's raccoon for trying to steal all the candy. You know, nobody ever wants to blame an animal for stealing the farmer's food, especially when the farmers are really dicks. But you root for Fox and you root for Ocean, because their heart is in the right place. And Clooney is such a handsome son of a bitch that no man should ever want to root for him. He really doesn't need our help. But he's so likable that whether he is a bank robber or a corporate henchman or a thieving fox, you root for the guy because no matter what role he's in, he brings a likability to it.
This is right about the point I soured on Wes Anderson. I like Darjeeling. This, I enjoy, but it's the first thing of his that I don't love, and then I haven't liked anything since. I do like how this was directed, though. Instead of just having voice actors in a booth saying the lines, he actually had them act out the scenes. Like, basically shot, for lack of a better term, the scenes. So when you see Mr. Fox doing something, Clooney's doing that as he's delivering the lines, which I always thought that was a cool approach. I still respect Wes Anderson as a director, especially because of stuff like that. I get tired of stuff sometimes. My number three, a movie I will never get tired of, from 2009, also directed by Jason Reitman. It is Up in the Air, co-starring Vera Farmiga and
George Clooney.
And Anna Kendrick.
No!
And George Clooney.
You got that backwards, yeah. Son.
I really like this movie. And this is such a good Clooney role because he's that guy that...
He's doing a scumbag thing,
yeah.
Kind of. He has a shit job.
But he loves it. And that's the thing. Is like somebody has to have that job. Mm-hmm. And it's not just that he has it. It's that he's really good at it and he prides himself on being good at it. Then you have the young Anna Kendrick come in and then him meeting Vera Farmiga. It's a cool transition in his life. It's kind of cool to see him want to be somebody different and then realize that maybe that's not possible, even though it is for other people around him. It's a really good story, and this did get a lot of love when it came out for good reason. Anna Kendrick got nominated. He got nominated. He might have won. I'm not looking that up, but...
we'll effort that.
Yeah.
Vera Farmiga got nominated as well.
Oh, did she?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, but it's just...
What the hell? I'll just look it all up.
It's a really, really good movie, and Reitman, he came out of the gate swinging, because this was his follow-up to Juno, I believe. It's just a really good movie, and it's really good Clooney, because... That's kind of the role he excels at. He's doing a dick thing, but I'd watch him do that all the time because he's good at it.
Vera Farmiga, Anna Kendrick, George Clooney, all nominated. Was nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Adapted Screenplay. So quite a few nominations for that movie. As far as Jason Reitman goes, I do believe Juno was like 2007, if I'm
okay,
not
so it was
mistaken.
Before, yeah.
Yeah, Juno was 07. And then, yeah, his next feature was Up in the Air from 2009. And then Young Adult, which was not tremendous.
And then Adam
Labor
Sandler,
Day.
J&O.
And then...
What was that movie called? Oh, what was the Adam Sandler jerk-off movie called? People, Places, Things?
Men, Women, and Children.
That's it,
yeah. The one that you didn't like. Yeah, that's kind of where his career has gone, which is unfortunate because I think when you start, even before Juno, Thank You for Smoking, amazing.
Oh,
Juno, great. Up in the Air, holy
like
shit.
He came out of the gate swinging. That's
right.
Three movies right there that are fantastic.
Yeah, and he's had a rough go of it since then, but yeah. We'll always have those three for sure. My number two, you had mentioned two roles that you kind of think of like new school Clooney. There's one role that I think of like old school Clooney, and it's the role that made me think this guy's a movie star. And it's from 1998, directed by Steven Soderbergh. It's Out of Sight, starring Clooney, Jennifer Lopez, and Ving Rhames. If it's not already obvious, it's going to become so that I love me some Soderbergh and Clooney. Out of Sight, while it's not a great movie, like I said, it's the first time that I realized that this guy who was a TV actor was fully capable of being a leading man in Hollywood. Not just his character in this movie, the character he plays seemingly in a lot of movies. He's a crook. He's sort of a rogue. And it dawned on me that George Clooney is pretty much the actual embodiment of Han Solo. He's always the coolest dude in the room. He's always seemingly up to something shady. But you kind of want to look the other way because he's George Clooney. And he can charm the pants off anyone in the room. Man, woman, it doesn't matter. In this movie, he starts off by robbing a bank. And he says to the teller that his partner's holding your boss at gunpoint. If that were the case, which it's not, you know, that's kind of a violent crime. But
he robs a bank with a post-it note, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. And you kind of feel like at that point, well, you know, that's not so bad. I mean, you know, no harm done, no harm, no foul. He's completely selfish, but you really have to smile through the whole movie as he outwits the cops and the marshals, and you're rooting for him. He's an escaped convict, and you're still finding yourself rooting for him. I think Lopez actually shows some capability here, too. The chemistry that those two had was really, really good on screen, and I think they make the movie as good as it ended up being. If you substitute the two leads, I'm not sure that you have the same result, which was a really good heist, romance-y kind of flick.
I disagree with one thing you said when you said this wasn't a great movie. Mm-hmm. I think this is a damn near perfect movie. This was my number one, but I'll pretend it's my number two for now. All right. I hold very few movies that I consider perfect, and I think this is one of them. I love this movie. It's got to be top 10 movie for me ever. Like, I love this movie so much because it's a lot of things I love at their highest form. I love George Clooney. This is the perfect Clooney role. I love Steven Soderbergh. This is such a Soderbergh movie. I love Elmore Leonard. This is the best adaptation of an Elmore Leonard on the big screen. So, I mean, it's all of that working together. It's a great crime movie. It's a great romance story. The cast, you highlight Clooney and what's her name, J-Lo, because they are really, really good.
Right. But
Don Cheadle, yeah. Albert Brooks, Dennis Farina, Steve Zahn, Ving Rhames, Samuel L. Jackson has a cameo at
right
the
at
end.
The end, like, yeah.
Michael Keaton shows up as the same character he is in Jackie Brown. Mm. It's such a good movie all the way through. And I generally don't like time jumping for no apparent reason. And this does that. But it works. Like, it helps the flow of the story. And just Clooney's character, the fact that he robs a bank with no weapon or partner or anything, and his car won't start.
Like, and his partner is Steven Soderbergh.
Yeah. I love this movie so much. And I could go on because, I mean, the trunk scene with him and J-Lo, the dinner scene with him and J-Lo, like, them together is phenomenal. Uh-huh. And I like her in this movie. I think she's really, really good in this movie.
And maybe that's a little bit of him, because I don't know that I've ever thought that to myself watching any other Jennifer Lopez movie.
Well, have you
movie.
Seen Geely?
You know, I feel like I have. I feel like we talked about that a little
but,
bit.
But, like, she's good. I like, she fits the role perfectly, because you have Farina as this loving dad, you have her as this badass agent, and she does it well, and she just gets kind of conflicted, and it leads up to the end with the Sammy Jackson cameo. Is just such a good, that's like a perfect ending to a movie.
It's really the only satisfying way that the movie could have ended compromising either of their
absolutely.
Characters.
Absolutely. And it was so brilliant. And I could go on and on about this movie, my number two. So excited to see what I say about my number one.
In fairness, this movie started the list as my number one, because I really couldn't think of a movie that I was going to like more. And then when I got my list and I started thinking about what was my number two, I was like, nope, I like this one much, much better. It's from 2002. It's also directed by Steven Soderbergh, starring George Clooney, Viola Davis, and Jeremy Davies. It's Solaris. I think that this is a great science fiction story, and I could really just end with that, based off Stanislaw Lem's novel. The Russians, I believe, did a version in 1972 that I haven't seen, but I've heard it's really, really good. And thinking about this one, it makes me want to basically stop what I'm doing now and watch the original and watch this one. The performances, for the most part, I think are fine. Natasha McElhone's, she's, for me, like the shining star of the movie. She's got the most heavy lifting to do, and I think that she carried it off pretty well. Clooney's all right. He kind of lacks most of the charm that seems to be his calling card, at least on the rest of the movies that are on my list. He's very charming. In this one, he's more conflicted, certainly less self-confident, and in kind of more of a fragile mental state. And that's what the character called for. Dave likes to mention Sunshine and Moon as examples of perfect movies, and he's right, because they're absolutely wonderful. This is maybe just a peg or two below that. I think the story is incredible, and the story is really what carries the movie. You're almost not even paying attention necessarily to the performances, or at least I wasn't, because I was so hooked on the premise of this planet Solaris providing copies of people and people that you dream about for whatever reason, and then how that actually works in this isolated space station. And I love the story so much, and just thinking about it, I mean, I could see any different cast in this and I think I would like it just the same. Whereas in Out of Sight, if it's not George Clooney in that role and if it's not Jennifer Lopez, maybe it doesn't do as well. But I think that Solaris, the source material, is so good that if you wanted to update it and you wanted to pick Michael Fassbender, and whoever else you want.
I do want to pick Michael
Fassbender. I'm sure you do. And I think he'd be great. The story's so good that you could almost remake it every 10 years with a different cast. I would still love it just because I'm so transfixed by that story. And the ending, there are some times when you make a movie that has an ambiguous ending. I mean, Inception's always kind of the one that comes to mind for me. It almost seems that they did it just to kind of be like, ha, gotcha. But, I mean, this movie, like, it builds to the ending, and I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, I like this one.
I like
this
Solaris.
This one almost made my list, but it got left off. I do like Soderbergh. This is more a Soderbergh movie than a Clooney movie. I think Out of Sight is a good mix. Like, I feel like it's a perfect balance between the two.
He definitely has Clooney has more of a fingerprint. Yeah. In Out of Sight than
yeah.
this
one. Yeah, but this is a good movie. I say that. And then my number one, kind of cheating, but not really. We've mentioned nine, or I don't know.
Clooney the actor.
Yeah, we've mentioned a lot of Clooney the actor.
Right.
And have not yet mentioned Clooney the director. Really good director. Like, none of our lists have even been directed by Clooney yet. Until now. My number one, formerly number two, it is his directorial debut. Confessions of a Dangerous Mind from 2002, starring Sam Rockwell, Julia Roberts, Drew Barrymore, and the Clune. It's not a Clooney movie, though. His role is... I mean, it's a Sam Rockwell movie, 100%. And Sam Rockwell delivers in this movie. Sam Rockwell is amazing in this movie. And it's a beautifully directed movie. I remember being skeptical because I was younger and I don't know if I just had a different opinion of actors turning directors, if I always took it as an ego play, or if they just weren't as good as they are now. Because generally now I'm all for actors directing, but younger me always thought it was lame. But I remember watching this and thinking, like, damn, he didn't make himself the star. And it's some of the shots, some of the transition. It's a beautifully directed movie. And I don't care if you're George Clooney or not. If anybody, this is an amazing directorial debut. And you know what? As accomplished as Clooney is as a director, I still feel this is his best effort as a director. And, I mean, he's had some good stuff where he was maybe a little bit more ambitious, but this was a perfect balance between entertaining and ambitious, because there is some ambitious stuff about this movie. He took more chances with some of his later efforts, but I adore this movie so much. So this one's on there more for Clooney the director than Clooney the actor, but he is in it, so I can get away with that.
You know, I guess I purposely left off Clooney the director because there were enough Clooney the actor that I wanted to put on there. And a lot of times he does appear in his own movies, whether he's not the star. I mean, I like Good Night and Good Luck an awful lot. Probably coulda, woulda, shoulda made the list. Certainly, he's in the movie, so I don't think I'd had to really try and convince you that it is a George Clooney movie, and I think it's wonderfully directed. Again, I'm kind of a sucker for the subject matter, McCarthyism, and trying to take that bastard down. I really liked the period journalism that was going on there. I mean, there were just so many that ended up getting left on the cutting room floor, but I mean, I think we could probably do another Clooney list, and really, the two of us only had one crossover, Michael Clayton?
Yeah. Which is odd, because I could have swapped it out with Descendants.
I left Descendants off because I thought it might have made your list, and I feel like we've talked about that one quite a bit.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like that's perfect now, Clooney.
Yeah.
That's perfect now, Clooney. Because for once, the Descendants is Clooney as the Baxter, for lack of a better term. Like, it's Clooney as he doesn't have everything together. He's the cheating honor. Like, he was the one being cheated on. Yeah. He's not the one that has it all together. And he's just trying to keep it together. Whereas General Clooney has it all together without any effort.
Exactly.
So I like that. And just no matter what Clooney does as an actor,
that scene of him running down the road
in sandals and shorts, like, yeah, that's always, anytime you bring up Clooney the actor, that's always going to come to my head.
It's a great scene.
That's such a good scene. And it's such a good movie. For some of my other
Shailene's pretty good in it.
Yeah, oh, she's amazing. Gravity. I liked him in Gravity for what he was.
Yeah. Gravity, good movie. And he is...
That's a Clooney.
He's
role.
George Clooney all over
the
screen.
He's George Clooney in a space suit.
Exactly. And to me, It seemed a little much. It
he
seemed
just
like
showed up for a day.
He's just like basically Dean Martin floating around space. It's almost weird to see him in that role and not have like a cocktail in his hand. Because that's how much he plays that. You want to see so much of that. You don't want that character to leave because he's so entertaining.
Yeah. Ides of March, which is a weird one that kind of seems... It seems like that movie kind of came and went forgotten.
Clooney, the director, too.
Clooney and Gosling. Yeah. Men Who Stare at Goats, which I like, but not as much as I wanted to. Perfect Storm. Three Kings. That's two Marky Mark movies.
Yeah.
And then his cameo in South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. That's another thing. When I think of Clooney the actor, it's going to be Out of Sight, him running in The Descendants, and him as the doctor
in South Park.
South Park, because that scene is so funny. And the fact that he's just George Clooney voicing that.
Mm. Charming dude. Good list. I mean, if we left off your favorite George Clooney, if you like Leatherheads,
you're John Krasinski's mom.
You let us know. moviesonup@gmail.com.
We'll be back next week with a cool episode. We hope you enjoyed last week's cool episode, whatever it was.
We had a lot of fun doing it. It was amazing.
It was amazing. We'll have a ton of fun doing next week's. Our Valentine's Day episode is coming up. It's either
probably next
week.
Yeah.
Or maybe.
I'm sure we'll do some Oscar stuff because that's right around the corner or close-ish.
Kind of don't care about the Oscars this year.
I don't think
there's much to talk about.
You want to boycott an Oscar episode?
Yeah. Right. I don't care.
Well, I
care that little about.
At the very least, we'll have some film ball stuff because the Oscars is kind of like the last throws of that.
I'll have to hire somebody to add that stuff up and see if I can find the list.
we can find the list. That's not a big deal. I still have it somewhere. I guess that's kind of what we're setting the table for the rest of February and into March. The Ides of March.
Already?
Yeah.
Which is weird. But we'll be back next week with an episode. And until then.
Good night, good luck, and keep it up.